Welcome. Thank you for joining us today for Microsoft Cloud App Security Overview session. Today, we are going to tell you about how you can gain visibility, data control, and threat protection for your cloud applications with Microsoft Cloud App Security. This is our Cloud Access Security Broker solution, in short, CASB solution. Before we start, I would like to ask, how many of you have heard the term CASB or Cloud Access Security Brokers? How many of you have deployed or purchased a CASB solution in your organization? All right, okay. And one last question, I promise. How many of you have attended our session yesterday, getting ahead of cybersecurity attacks with Microsoft Enterprise Mobility and Security? All right, okay, thank you. This really gives us an idea so we can really craft what we are going to share with you today, and we don't do any repetitions. My name is Demi Albus. I'm a Senior Product Marketing Manager in Microsoft Enterprise Mobility and Security Marketing Team, and I am responsible for Cloud App Security's marketing. I get the chance to do that, of doing the marketing of this great product. Today, Inan Kosica is joining me. He is the technical expert. I know that you don't want to hear from me because I'm marketing, so I brought the best, the technical expert, with me. He leads the product management for Microsoft Cloud App Security, and he was the vice president of product management for Adalom before we acquired them. Adalom is the base technology for Cloud App Security, so Inan will share his experiences, will tell you about the details about this product, as well as he will show it how it works. He will demonstrate it in real time. You will hear a lot from experts in the market, as well as Gartner. CASB, or Cloud Access Security Brokers, is one of the top 10 technologies that is supposed to grow highly in the next 10 years. Yes, Cloud Access Security Brokers are great technologies, but we should take a step back and think about our entire security challenge first. Let's talk about life before cloud and mobility and life after cloud and mobility. I would like to highlight a couple things because we will come back to these, how we can solve these problems that you experience with life after cloud and mobility. Life before cloud and mobility was easier. We had only sanctioned applications. You can access resources only within, you know, company network, and you had layers of defenses to protect your organization. You had a known security perimeter, and the only way for attackers to go in was malware, virus, and firewalls were your boundaries. It was a different world. So what's happening after cloud and mobility and the transformation of IT, and also, you know, employees using several devices and applications, it's actually causing a lot of problems. Actually, employees want to be more productive, and you heard this message from us several times. The real issue is that they want to get things done faster and quicker. And they will use devices. They will not enroll those devices most of the time to your mobility solutions. They may be using SaaS applications that you're not aware of. And eventually, when we talk to you, what I hear most is, we trust cloud, but we don't have the visibility that we need. I have the visibility on premises, but I don't have the visibility in the cloud. I want to control my users' actions. The idea here is not to block our users from accessing SaaS applications. We just want to gain visibility, and we can control their actions so they can still be productive and get the things done, but we also protect our organization, our critical data. There are a lot of security solutions out there, and we know that on average, an IT organization uses 18 different security solutions. We have released Enterprise Mobility Suite into market a few years ago that solves your mobility identity challenges. And in the last 2 years, we made significant amount of investments in the security field because we wanted to make sure that we give you the best security tools, because security became more and more important with all of these increasing number of cybersecurity attacks. Just to give you an example, yesterday I gave a presentation about cybersecurity attacks. About 5 p.m., I got a call from an unknown number, and they were asking, they're calling from a support center. It's like, which support center? It's a Windows support center. It's like, okay, well, which company? Microsoft. Really? I work for Microsoft. They're never supposed to call me from my cell phone. And they hung up. And you all know about this. This is the third call that I get. I think as more and more I give the speeches, I will, at some point, my credentials are going to get breached. So security is so important. This is happening to your users as well. This is why Microsoft has made so many investments in the security field. We think about productivity as we help you secure that productivity with our identity-driven security solution. And we provide you a holistic solution so you can protect your users, your devices, your applications, your data, on-premises, as well as in the cloud. And our solution is identity-driven. We say that all the time because we first start with protecting your identities at the front door. We really help you to protect your identities, and we use that identity to access thousands of applications. And if that identity gets breached, we will detect it. And our solutions are innovative because we made a lot of investment in this area. If you have attended the keynote, Julia mentioned that we made three key acquisitions in the security field, all as a part of Enterprise Mobility and Security Suite. Behavioral analytics solutions, cloud access security broker solution, as well as information rights management solutions, Secure Islands, Adalom, Air Auto. We made significant investments in the security area because we want to make sure that we give you the new tools. The attackers have changed their techniques, and this is why we have to provide you the most innovative solutions, the new solutions, because if their techniques have changed, our techniques have to change as well. And this market is as much as about knowing, it's also about learning. Microsoft has vast amount of data sets and machine learning in the cloud. We get breached so many times. Every day, actually, our credentials get breached. And we have defenses, and we learn every day. We have digital crimes unit that helps our customers pre-breach and post-breach. If they found a bad IP, we benefit from that. Cloud App Security benefits from that. And that's what we call Microsoft Intelligence Security Graph. If attackers are changing their techniques every day, we need to learn and we need to adapt, and that's our strategy. When we started the Microsoft Enterprise Mobility Suite journey, as I said, we had mobility identity solutions as well as information protection solutions. We added behavioral analytics to it, and now we are adding cloud and SaaS app security with Microsoft Cloud App Security, so we are adding a CASB solution to this package. Of course, this is also available standalone if you don't want to get the entire suite. Let's talk about SaaS adoption challenge a little bit more. 73% of organizations say that they don't want to adopt SaaS or they're delaying SaaS adoption because they're concerned about security. So on one side, you're holding and you're saying, I'm not quite sure about cloud or cloud applications. On the other side, your employees are taking initiative and they're using SaaS applications already. Our own telemetry says that on average, an employee uses 17 SaaS applications for work. I don't use that much, but apparently your employees do. That's what our telemetry says from Cloud App Security. So there's a push and pull here. On one side, you're delaying the adoption. On the other side, they're already using. This is why we have acquired Adalom. Because we truly believe that you cannot have a mobility and security strategy without having a cloud access security broker in it. Microsoft Cloud App Security is a cloud-delivered service that protects your cloud applications, that provides you visibility in terms of what type of applications your employees are using. Visibility is great. There are a lot of cloud access security brokers that give you visibility about what type of applications you have. But can you control them? Can you control the data in them? Can you make sure that your users are not uploading critical documents to a public link? You want to make sure that you will be able to do that. And finally, these applications are as vulnerable as on-premises when it comes to threats. We also provide threat detection. Actually, our team, Microsoft Cloud App Security's product management team, comes with a significant cybersecurity experience. They were cybersecurity consultants, and they have been working for the government organization in Israel. So they have experienced it firsthand themselves, and they built that threat detection to Cloud App Security. Would you like to see it in real time? I would like to hand it over to Inan now, and he will tell you what Cloud App Security can do for you, and he will also show it in real time. Really cool demos.
Okay, thank you. I'm Inan Kosica. I'm coming from the Adalom acquisition. I ran product management, and now I'm running product for Cloud App Security. First, I want to share with you after years of experience with CISOs, talking to CISOs, what are the major challenges that they are seeing as their organization is moving to the cloud? It is as and not when, because it is happening all of the time continuously. There are four main categories for questions that we can categorize it into. First, and the first step in cloud security, what is my cloud environment? I have no idea. If you ask a CISO how many cloud applications are being used, so they can look at Office 365, maybe Salesforce, they start counting. The answer is that it's not countable. It's hundreds of applications that very few of them are known before doing a shadow IT process, shadow IT discovery process. This is not just a question of understanding what is being used, because as you as IT, as you are rolling out new applications, cloud applications, you want to ask yourself how effective it is. How many users are actually using my sanctioned cloud application, and what are the alternatives that are not managed by IT that are still in use? If you're rolling out Office 365, for example, OneDrive, don't you want to know how many Dropboxes are still in use in your different teams in the organization? Of course, it's a critical question. Next step, when you define your cloud environment, you start asking yourself, okay, now I have a cloud environment and users are uploading data to it, they are sharing data through it, and they are downloading data from it. Now, how do you protect the data as it moves to this cloud environment and it doesn't leave your organization anymore only by email? It's not only email. Any user can upload a super sensitive file to their cloud environment, even if it's a sanctioned one and you control it, and then share it with a public link, with anyone with a link. It's a critical question to be able to address how many files like this are there in my environment and how can I immediately remediate. Once you've in data related issues like that, we see all around. The third one goes to the download. Why is it so interesting to know what files are being downloaded from my cloud environment? When it was on-prem and all the devices were managed, well, I'm downloading data that I uploaded from my managed environment to my trusted cloud, and I'm downloading it back to my managed environment, so everything is fine, right? But we have seen that now, bring your own devices, kiosk devices, all you need is just internet, and you get access to your main infrastructure now in the cloud. It's great, it's productive, users love it, right? But now data can leave your trusted environment to the untrusted environment. And a huge question has been how to actually control this access, how to limit it in terms of data that is being accessed and based on the trust level of the request. Lastly, when you are moving to the cloud, as Demi mentioned, there are many new things happening. You see connections not only from your premise, you see connections all around from different devices, and you need another form of security in order to identify threats that are mainly found in cloud environments. When they are very much noisy, they are uncontrolled, they are unmanaged, and you need something to identify when something bad goes and alert you about that so you can immediately remediate. These are the four questions that are mainly all CISOs face as their organization is moving into the cloud. And again, I forgot to mention, if anyone has a question, please do not hesitate. We have 75 minutes, so feel free to raise your hand and I'll be happy to answer. Now, Cloud App Security helps you with providing you, the IT, the security, a complete framework to secure your cloud applications. The solution is based on four main pillars. One pillar is cloud discovery, a solution for how to perform discovery and understand exactly what is your cloud environment. Second, a solution for information protection. I will show you how can you protect information using classification and protect it as it is being uploaded and shared into your cloud storage devices. Third, threat detection. Cloud App Security is very well known for the threat detection capabilities, and it gives you full coverage for all of your cloud activities and alerts you when something bad happens. And lastly, and this is the first time we're going to demo a feature that is coming soon, how can you control access from unmanaged devices into the session? Not only access, but how can you limit the session that is coming from unmanaged devices and control it in a way that allows you to secure your environment, your trusted cloud environment, from unsecure devices that are coming into it. Each one of these pillars, you will see in the demo, we follow a very simple process. First, discovery. Cloud App Security gathers for you the information that you need in order to start an investigation process. The investigation process allows you to learn how your cloud environment actually looks like. And this allows you to ask questions and put policies in place that shape how your cloud environment looks like. Because if you're seeing a certain pattern, it might be relevant for one organization, it might not be relevant for other, but Cloud App Security gives you the ability to see how does this policy affect your organization in real time and apply this policy. Once you apply the policies, you can control your cloud because you get instant remediation in terms of if there is any violation. And this is how CISOs today can shape the way their cloud environment looks like for their users. And lastly, once you establish this baseline, getting alerted every time there is something that violates the baseline that you've created, the policies, or something new happened in your environment that requires you to act upon and decide, and maybe decide a new policy to put in place. So these four steps are fundamental, and I will go through each one of the pillars, and then we will demo it in the console in live. So, discovery, how does it work? Very simple. In a few minutes, you can gather your cloud traffic logs, upload them into Cloud App Security, and you will get a full discovery report of your cloud environment. This allows you to understand what all of the applications that you are using today, your organization is using today from your networks. This allows you to investigate not only what cloud applications are in use, but who is using them and to what extent and for what purposes. This allows you to move into the next phase, into taking a decision, whether it is a sanctioned or unsanctioned, and how should you, as an IT, as an admin, treat this specific application. But seeing usage isn't enough. You want to know more about the application. You want to know, is it risky or isn't it risky? What does it do? You have 13,000 cloud applications that Cloud App Security can identify today in your discovery process. 13,000 applications. If you take even 10 minutes to investigate each one of the average of 700 apps that we find in a regular, in an average organization, it will take you eternity. What Cloud App Security does, we have a team of cloud analysts that is continuously analyzing and continue to expand the Cloud App catalog that we have, and this is now at your hands as soon as you have Cloud App Security. It means that once you have a new application, you don't only see an application that you have never heard of and now you need to investigate. You have more than 60 different risk factors that you can investigate, learn, and decide whether it is compliant with your organization or it is not compliant, whether you should sanction or unsanction. Sometimes sanctioning or unsanctioning is not enough. Sometimes as an IT, you want to take ownership of this application and then you can protect it. You can protect it by owning identity, moving to Azure Active Directory, for example, to manage identities in that application. And you can also protect it using Cloud App Security, using one of our app connectors. After you establish the baseline in discovery, we continue to monitor your environment. We continue to monitor for bad news and good news. The bad news are anomalies in your environment that requires your attention. For example, if you have a user, you have inspected your environment and you have seen one cloud storage application that is being used less than 1 megabyte per day. You find it unharmful and you decide to sanction it for now and not block it anywhere in the proxy and don't do anything about that. However, when you have one user that used to upload 1 megabyte per day to that application and suddenly uploads 1 gigabyte of data to that application, you want to be alerted on that immediately, because this is a change to the baseline that you have analyzed so far, and you want to be alerted when this happens so you can take another decision maybe, or investigate this specific case. These are the bad news. The good news are that cloud is continuously evolving. As our cloud app catalog, your users are evolving as well, and there are new trends all of the time. You don't want to be blind to these changes. You don't want to be the IT that never knows what's going on, and you want to be alerted as soon as a new app by is trending in your organization by usage, by number of users, by traffic, and so on. We provide you these alerts from your baseline so you can remediate and take action. Information protection for cloud applications. So in general, in the cloud, there are two things that matter the most in data protection. First, what is the classification label of the file? Is it a public file? Is it a restricted file? On the other hand, in the cloud, the other parameter is what is the sharing level of the document? Is it publicly shared using a link, or is it internally shared only to the company employees? You need to match these levels on every cloud storage application that you are using. Cloud App Security will provide you visibility into that, and then will allow you to quantify the risk. Simple questions like, how many confidential files am I sharing publicly? How many of you can answer that question today? The ability to detect that and provide you a way to quantify that risk and exposure is the first step. We don't only analyze who are you sharing files with. As one of the key concerns in cloud applications today is the interconnectivity, and it's a key issue to understand when you're moving to secure your cloud. Every user can now connect a new application to their enterprise, to their organization account. It means that as a user of, let's say, Box or Salesforce or whatever app it is, I can connect other third-party apps that connect into my data and have direct access to it. It is not sharing, it is direct access. We provide you with full visibility into these third-party apps as well, so you can take policies on them as well, because they have direct access to your organization's cloud infrastructure. So this is the visibility piece. Once you have this visibility, it's very easy to move into policies. Policies shape the way your cloud looks like. It means that you can govern using DLP policies, sharing control policies based on the classification labels, and so on, and you can create policies that identify and remediate automatically violations by user notifying the user, quarantining the file, removing sharing, all of the protection measures that you need to have in cloud environment in order to secure your data. And one very important thing to mention, and it's the first time that I'm going to show it today in Cloud App Security demo, we leverage Azure Information Protection classification labels. How many of you are aware of the Azure Information Protection classification label? Great. So, Cloud App Security allows you to extend the value that you get from the same classification that you embed into each file into every cloud application that we protect. Every cloud application can read this label and can match it against the sharing level and alert you when something is inappropriate, is not corresponding between the classification and the sharing. As soon as there is a violation, you can use the Cloud App Security portal to investigate who accessed the file, who downloaded the file, who uploaded, who shared, and have a complete audit trail for your investigation and for your auditors or compliance requirements. Threat detection we perform in two ways. There are the anomalies and there are the known detections. Anomalies are required for your cloud environment because you need to know when something deviates from the baseline of your users. When you have admins accessing from the same locations every time, from your main offices, you want to be alerted when the admin connects from a new location. You want to know when a user misdownloads specific files. You want to monitor a list of more than, and I will show you in the demo, you want to monitor all of the risk factors that account for your cloud environment and be able to identify deviation and be alerted on that so you can investigate and decide how you want to contain this incident. In addition, you can use the Cloud App Security portal to investigate your cloud environment and to create known detections. You have policies. You have policies saying that service accounts are not allowed to perform administrative activities. You can monitor that through Cloud App Security. You can create an alert when something is not in compliance with your policies in the organization and be alerted. As Demi mentioned, all of the cloud audit trail that we provide you in the console is enriched with the Microsoft Intelligent Security Graph. It means that every IP address, even if it's an activity log from Salesforce or Box or Dropbox, every activity log, we enrich it with the insights from that Intelligent Security Graph. So if there is a risky IP address that we had seen that attacks an Office 365 account, we alert you about it. Also, it attacks your Salesforce account or Box account. So this is the threat detection. And now I'll pause for any questions, if there are. And if not, I'll move to the demo. So advanced threat analytics are on-premise, and they monitor identities on-premise. They are part of the EMS package, and we are moving into in the vision. Like Demi mentioned, it will be a unified solution for your on-prem and your cloud environment to secure identities on-prem and off-prem. So in the meantime, they are in different consoles because the one is on-prem and the other in the cloud, but you will definitely have a way to pivot between the identities. Because if you have an internal identity, so you would want to have like the ability to investigate the same on-prem user and have a risk score for their cloud activities. Yeah, it's in the vision for sure. Okay, so the question is, do we integrate directly with the firewalls and network appliances to make things happen? So we read the logs, and it is done completely out of band. Okay, so we funnel the logs back. You can export continuously the logs, the domains that you unsanctioned, in order to block them in your proxy and network appliances. Every organization has their own process for that. So you can export it from the console and automate the process based on your own existing infrastructure. So in terms of threat detection, malware detonation, we don't provide malware detonation here. I think you are referring to ATP's capability, maybe, but we didn't discuss malware detonation at all here. Any other questions? Yeah? So the solution is complete agentless, and I will go through the architecture. It's a great question, and I will say at this point that as Microsoft, we are very aware of your organization needs for productivity. This is why we did all of the solution completely out of band with zero effect on your user experience whatsoever. And I will show you how it looks like and what it provides and the architecture, but it's very important to say you don't need to deploy any agents on the devices and you don't have any effect on the user experience. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. I will go ahead and move to the demo. Okay, great. So this is a Cloud App Security portal. I will start, you can see in the top navigation bar that we have the discover, investigate, control, and alert, the same process that we discussed earlier. We will start with discovery. This is what you get after a very simple process of uploading logs. Logs can be uploaded either manually or automatically from any number of appliances, from any number of networks. So it's scalable to the largest organization, from the smallest organization to the biggest one. Now, as you see the discovery report, you can analyze your reports based on the device, source device, based on the network. You can have very granular reporting per section in your organization. For each one, you will have a report of how many cloud applications are being used, who are the users, what is the amount of traffic, but you will also see the categorization of all of your cloud application traffic into specific categories. This means that as an IT organization, let's say you are rolling out a cloud storage solution or an online meeting solution. You can now have, with a very, in a second, you can have a view of what, how much of the traffic that goes into the cloud for the purpose of online meetings, for the purpose of cloud storage, is sanctioned, and how much of it is unsanctioned. The ability to deep dive, to have a deep dive into this, is fabulous. You can really take any of the more than 50 categories that we have and see all of the discovered apps for that category. For each one, you can decide whether you want to sanction or unsanction the application. You can even have a deep dive into all of the cloud storage applications, for example. You have a list and you have a score. Let's take one of the lowest scores. You have a list of all of the risk factors that we discussed. So some general risk factors about the company, where it is, where are their headquarters, where is the data center, as well as the security controls that that company, that service provider gives you as an admin to secure your instance of, in this case, PowerShell. In addition, you see a list of all of the compliances that this service owns. Again, a glimpse of an eye, and you can have a very good understanding of what this cloud, whether this cloud application is compliant or in compliant with your requirements. Now, the ability to sanction or unsanction gives you also, and this is with response to your question, that once you unsanction, you can export all of the data into a scripted list of block in your proxies and appliances. So you can automate it into your own processes and own configuration process in order to block specific domains. The catch here, that it's not like a one-to-one between an application and a domain. Some applications have numerous domains, and we are doing this analysis continuously to find out what are all of the domains that go to that application so you can block it appropriately in the proxy and so it won't be bypassed. For each application, you can dive into the usage itself and see who is using it, to what extent. You can see who are the specific users of that application. So in case you want to reach out and understand whether there is a business diversification, you can go about and do that. And you can even dive even more and pivot on the user, asking, okay, if I have a user that acts suspiciously, maybe I want to look and find out what are all the other cloud applications that this user is using. All of the pivots and analysis that I've shown you here is actually you can also do based on IP addresses if you don't want to have the usernames, just to understand cloud usage. You cannot upload it in the first place. This is one. And this is a roadmap item actually for the next quarter. So even if you upload, it will be tokenized, and you won't see unless you configure it, it will be part of the permission set, so you won't be able to see the username per se, just a tokenized version. Great, so this was cloud discovery. Yeah? So again, repeat the question. So the question is whether you can automate the process in order to update as there are changes. So the answer is that it is accessible via a simple API, so you can automate the process, like update it every day. It really depends on the organization and how do you actually propagate network configuration rules, and this is why we don't integrate directly and leave it to you as an organization to decide how you want to go about and do that, but we provide you with the APIs to completely automate the process. Coming in? This is through RESTful APIs. Okay, let's look at the control piece for a second. Control piece, as we said, allows you to create policies to control files, activities, and so on. Let's take, for example, the PCI and compliance. We created here a policy to identify any credit card info that is shared publicly. Okay? You can see for each file that you can have a great investigation process on it. You have all of the data you need in order to understand whether it is a violation or something that is not a violation. In this case, for example, we see a file that is under a DLP project, test files shared with everyone. It's quite obvious that it is shared on purpose. You can even have a look at the matches and see that Stanley Kubrick is probably not a real number, and not a real name, and it's not a real credit card information, and this is just a test file that you can go about and authorize. On the other hand, the file above looks a bit more suspicious. You can see that it is under customers folder that is shared internally, then an Acme folder that is shared privately, and then payment schedule and details is shared publicly using anyone with a link. This is exactly the scenario that we've discussed earlier. The ability to identify that gives you also the ability to take an action and remediate it. So we can also have a look at the matches, understand that this looks like a real credit card payment info, and then we can do a bunch of actions. We can decide to remediate using quarantine, just to remediate by removing sharing, and we can take another leap into the file and have all of the related activity all of the activity related to that specific file. So you can investigate and contain the damage and answer compliance and audit requirements. Yeah, sure. No, we are validating the checksum, and we also have proximity checks for additional words, like context-based. So this is in the discovery piece, right? So the question is whether you can assign whether a user and IP. The answer is yes, that you can go back and see what user has used what IP addresses. And then you can pivot between IP and users based on the logs, again. So you can see that this IP was assigned to that user on that specific day, and so on. Great question. So today we focus, since we are based on the API, we focus on your sanctioned environment. This is a solution for IT to manage their sanctioned environment, and this is out of band. The API provides you with full visibility into the application itself. So everything that is being uploaded, whether it's on-prem, off-prem, from managed devices, unmanaged devices, you can have full visibility into that application. However, for unsanctioned application, it is not connected to. Since you don't own the applications, right?
Yeah. Both the question about the credit card example we have there, does that come from address permission?
Great question. So we have a DLP, we have an internal DLP, native DLP mechanism that you can use with regexes and preset templates, but we can also leverage, and this is exactly my next demo, you can also leverage the classification, automated classification label that are embedded into the files by Azure Information Protection. I will show you that in a second. Great question. Yeah. Come again? Example of file that can be uploaded? Oh, a log file. Yes, of course. So going back to discovery, the question is whether we can see the how to upload logs. And by the way, maybe it's the time to mention that we have another session tomorrow with a complete deployment flow for each one of the steps. So I will walk you step by step on how to create a trial, how to upload logs, whether manually or automatically, and how to connect the apps and create the policies. So it will be a complete session, much more in details on how to set up your environment. So basically, this is a manual upload process which you can automate. You can see all of the devices that are supported. You can see all of the leading firewalls, proxies in the market. You select the file the type, and then you can verify the logs just to see that you have the same format. You select the files, and create an upload. As soon as you do that, it will be parsed, analyzed, and you will receive this discovery report. So again, manual upload, and you can automate it using a log collector, and tomorrow we will show how to deploy that. Yes, you can export syslog, and you can export ceph over syslog, and you can export files using FTP directly. Do we have? Yes, of course. You can reach out afterwards, and we can definitely connect. Okay, so moving into policies, so we've seen the file policy. I also want to show you another form of policy, which is the anomaly detection policy. The anomaly detection policy monitors all of these risk factors continuously in your environment. I want to say just a word on how it works. We monitor each session, and we gather all of the sessions that came, all of the activities that came from the same user. So if you have a Box account, an Office 365 account, and a Salesforce account, we can gather all of these activities together and analyze them as a single session. Once we do that, we baseline, and we try to find these risk factors and risks the, and give a risk score to each one of them. The result, you can see in the alerts. The alerts is where you get the alerts on all of the different policies, whether these are file policies, anomalies, discovery alerts. But I want to focus on the anomaly detection alert. You can see that a session that has two applications, in this case, Google Apps and Microsoft Office Exchange Online, you can see that a session that started with a bunch of failed logins, then a successful logon, administrative activity, and a logout, and afterwards, we can see that there are a bunch of benign activities for just send mail activities from Office. How do we know that these are risky IP? Because we integrated with the Microsoft Intelligent Security Graph, and we read the anonymous proxy label, so we know that this IP is risky. We feed it into the logs of all of the other cloud applications that we protect, and we now provide you with an analysis of this session. The analysis says that this is an anonymous proxy. This is an admin, which is something that you might have not remembered when you just seen that session, and that this ISP is suspicious because it is the first time it is used across your environment and for admin activity. In addition, you can see that there are failed logins, and there is an impossible travel risk factor there. So we gather all of them together. We provide it to you as an anomaly alert so you can start your investigation. You can pivot now on the user activities. You can pivot on what did that user do on the same day. You can go deeper. But you can also create your own detection. You can click on the IP address and monitor all of the activities from that specific IP address. Since you know that this IP is risky and targeting your environment now, you can even create a new policy from search. This policy will alert you when that specific IP is next seen, and you can add more parameters for that. For example, if it's an admin, if it's from a specific location, and so on. You can also configure your alerts via email, via text messages, and user notifications. Any questions on the overview of the portal? Yes? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the question, great. So the question was whether you can create exclusions from the anomaly engine. So I will answer in two levels. First, this scenario that you mentioned of having an office in China that go through a US office should not trigger an alert. Why? Because we see in your environment, we see that this is a baseline. We understand the IPs that are quite static in your environment, and we see how many times we see them in velocity. So we won't alert you on that because we understand that this is part of your normal behavior. On the flip side, yes, you can configure and you can exclude the anomalies. And what is so amazing about this mechanism that it allows you to create specific anomaly detection policies for specific activities. For example, what we see many customers do is actually to create an anomaly detection policy that is configured very high in terms of how many alerts it, like the risk score level is very low to trigger an alert, only on administrators and high-value users. So they inspect any anomaly with respect to these high-value users, while for the rest of the organization, they keep it only on the high-risk alerts. So this allows you to configure as many alerts as you want and to silo that, so you can look and remove activities from each risk factor in addition. So highly customizable and allows you to do that. Okay, great. Next session.
One more question.
One more question? Like the cloud app security service?
Yes.
It's a multi-environment.
Okay,
so it's the same.
One more question, sorry.
One more question?
At the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's take the DLP questions and the depth of it after the session, and I will show you how you can investigate just in terms of the classification labels and DLP. It's just very detailed, and I can answer it after the session. Okay, so here I have an environment that we set up with Azure Information Protection in production, and this is connected to Box and Office 365. You can see that in the file screen, I can see all of the files in my environment, but since it's a real environment, I can show you how it looks, for example, in Box. So I have a folder, all files, under it I have a folder mergers and acquisitions, and I can upload any files into it that are highly confidential. We used the Azure Information Protection portal in order to define what are the sensitivity and classification labels, and we marked all of the files before uploading them with the confidential one, which is the highest sensitivity level. User can upload the files into that folder, which is internal only, but let's see how easy it is to share it with my friend. For example, I want my friend to review that. My friend is not part of the organization, and I want to send them a link just so they can review and read. I created a shared link. I'm taking the link, and then I have an incognito browser that I will use that link in order to access the file. This is great. It's productive, but not in this case. This is a confidential file that I'm able to access from an incognito browser without authenticating at all. Now, let's see how does an admin can see that from the Cloud App Security Console. So, looking at the files, I can see all of the files in my environment. I can ask a very simple question. What files are shared publicly? Public files are great sometimes. We have marketing content, we have customer-facing content, we have a lot of content that we do want to share publicly. And this is where we need classification labels, and we can extend what Azure Information Protection provides us with. We can go and filter, it's a very simple filter, file tag, give me everything that is confidential. And then I see only a subset of the files that match my criteria. These are confidential files that are shared publicly. I want to take an action on this, right? I want to look at the file. I can inspect it. I can see the same view, same information that user saw, right? So all files, mergers and acquisition. I can see the sharing structure. Again, showing you the process, sharing structure, and I can see that this is also a confidential file. I have a policy that alerts me on that. I have a policy that can automatically remediate that. How can we automatically remediate that? Look at all of the activities that I can take, actions that I can take to remediate. I can put the file in quarantine. I can remove the sharing. I can notify the user. I will decide here just to remove the direct shared link. Removing the direct shared link, because we are connecting using the API, goes out of band, connecting through the APIs back to the service, and remediates the situation using the APIs. There is nothing artificial here. Everything is integrated into your cloud environment. This allows me now to see the file in the console, shared internally, and seeing the user experience here, I'll just refresh the file, the file is inaccessible. Now, this process can be automated. It means that every time that I'm seeing this violation, I can automate the response and get immediate remediation. And this is across all of your devices. Even if I shared it from a mobile app, even if I shared it from a kiosk device, your environment is protected against this form of violations. Yes, of course. You can notify the user and let the user take a decision. You can quarantine it in a way that the user can release it from quarantine. So all of the processes exist in order to provide a productive and secure environment. This is what we focus on. Yes, there is an email I can show you even. Again, same process. We have a filter here. We can create a policy from search, and this will provide me with all of the functionality so you can inspect additional content, whether you want to look for additional, and take an action, create an alert, and also configure notifications, and so on. So you can send what we call a policy match digest to the user saying, these are all the violations that you have, please remediate. We are using. So this was, let me just go back to the file. Okay, so the file disappeared now because it was remediated and it doesn't answer the, it doesn't match the query anymore because it is not publicly shared. So I will show you the rest of the investigation process on another file. Now I've seen the violation, okay, and now I want to contain the damage, I can go and review all of the related activities. The related activity will actually search throughout the audit log for any activity that pertains to that specific file. Okay, so you as an admin can look and see exactly what happened to that file, when, who uploaded, who enabled the shared link, and who downloaded it that is not from my organization. We can see here, for example, two transactions from an unknown user that is not part of my organization because it is an anonymous link. Now, I can go and I can even have a stronger query. I can use the file classification labels, the ones from Azure Information Protection, in order to query all of the activities that took place on files with confidential label. And I can now create an alert. Alert me when, for example, somebody downloads more than 5 files that are confidential in less than 10 minutes, because this should not be, this shouldn't be. This is an indication of something that I want to look at, right? So you can create these policies, and I created them in my environment. And this is why this tool is so easy to use, because it allows you to really shape how you want your cloud environment to be like. So we understand that there are a lot of customizations and exceptions and exclusions that you want to have. This tool allows you to have it. I created 5 policies here related to what we've seen today that automate the entire process. First, I'm alerted when I have an externally shared sensitive file inbox. I'm alerted when a sensitive file is downloaded from an unauthorized location. Unauthorized location, your call, your networks, unmanaged devices, and external users. You decide what's an unmanaged for you. I created even an alert similar to what we have in Box. I created it for SharePoint using SharePoint sites. These classification labels are allowed only in these whitelisted sites. Or the contrary, I can create a policy to alert me when I have files with a classification label in a list of blacklisted sites that might be externally facing, for example. So you can use this on any of your cloud application to really match what I told you earlier about classification label and sharing. In addition, the alert that we discussed of mass download. Pause here for a second for any questions. Yeah?
Yes.
Yes, this is using the API connectors. I will get to the architecture in a second, and I will explain. Okay.
One more question.
One more question. In Cloud App Security, yes. And just to say a word about Office 365 and how I see like this integrates with Office 365. As you probably know, we are embedded into Office 365. We are part of the service there. You should see Cloud App Security as your product to expand from Office 365 security to any Cloud App Security. Okay? And this is the way to look at it. Because if you add this policy in Office, and you have another cloud application, which is very reasonable. You have Salesforce, you have ServiceNow, you have other cloud apps. You want to have the same policy set applied to them as well. And this is exactly what Cloud App Security allows you to do. Same actions and so on. Okay, let's go back to the deck. And I want to show you the most architecture and then in-session controls, which is the first time it is going to be demoed. So, architecture. As I mentioned, for us, it's very important not to ruin your employees' experience. There are other solutions that use heavy proxying and heavy deployment that require heavy deployment, not Cloud App Security. Cloud App Security leverages out of band controls, one using cloud traffic logs, and the other using API connectors. We connect to the APIs, and then we have full accessibility to your environment, regardless of where it is being accessed. So we cover all of the transactions in your environment. So this is a very powerful tool that you can deploy with a click. Yes, single click, and you are deployed. It means that you go into the Cloud App Security portal, you go through the onboarding bar, and in minutes, you can go through that deployment process end-to-end, and all of the capabilities that you have seen so far in this demo is based on these simple steps. Upload logs, connect your apps. Now, I want to go to the last section, which is the in-session controls. In-session controls allows you to have context-aware session policies. This is one of the strongest, most required requirements that I see from CISOs. And we have a very unique way to deliver that to you. This allows you to take every session and ask yourself, using Cloud App Security, whether you want to allow the request to proceed or you want to deny, not only upon access, because sometimes you want to allow your users to access from unmanaged devices because they want to be productive, they want to access the app, they will be very mad if they don't have access to that specific application, but we can also provide you the ability to let them into the app and have, for example, a view-only mode. Do not download. You can view the information you need. Do not download it to your unmanaged device. Why do we need that? I think that everyone that had gone through a cloud migration process understand that not every request is the same. Because you need to know who is asking, you need to know where it is coming from, you need to know from what devices, you need to know what application it is trying to access, and most importantly, you want to know what is the classification label of that file that user tried to download, right? Because if it is public knowledge, then okay, go ahead, you can proceed, but if it is confidential, this is the last line of defense, right? Block it. We don't want this to leave my trusted environment. This is why our in-session proxy-based control allows you to have a broker engine for every request that reviews the request and the trust level of the request and the resource that was requested. For example, if I have an admin that accesses from an unknown device, unknown location, and tries to download a very sensitive file, I don't care, I want to block that. I don't want this data to leave my organization. But the same admin, same user, from a known device and known network, we can allow him to have this because this is not sensitive. This is, and the data is not sensitive. We want to allow him to have this access. And now I'm very happy actually to show you a quick video that I prepare, head to head. We have here two browsers, okay, on the same device. One of the browsers on the left is an Edge browser, and on the right it's an Internet Explorer. From these browsers, we will access the same user, the same account on the same application. We will go into Salesforce from both browsers again and log in as Richard. I'm using Azure Active Directory. This is Salesforce is one of my sanctioned apps, protected apps. I control identity using Azure Active Directory. So when I access, I have all of the access controls that Azure Active Directory provides me with. However, as soon as I log in, I get a request to confirm a certificate. What is it? Cloud App Security in-session proxy asks from the device to authenticate itself. That way, the device can decide whether to authenticate as a managed device or not. In the Edge browser, we will accept the request and we will send the certificate, meaning this is a managed device. And on the right, we will deny that, so this will be an unmanaged. You can see that the experience is the same. Same Salesforce, same user, same functionality. I can access my old files folder and see two files that are uploaded earlier. One is non-confidential, and the other is confidential. Using, why is it confidential? Again, using the classification labels of Azure Information Protection. The non-confidential file is downloaded regularly, of course, no issue. And the confidential file, since I'm accessing from a managed device, I trust the device, and I allow this request to happen. So you can see that the file is open, and you can see the top-level bar, the sensitivity is confidential. I can see that this is indeed a very sensitive file with a lot of customer information. And now let's look at the same experience from the unmanaged device. The unmanaged device, the non-confidential file, doesn't affect, I mean, this is okay with my policies. I'm not looking to block it, things that I don't need to block, right? So we can allow this request to happen. On the flip side, when I try to download the confidential file, Cloud App Security will identify that and issue a block notification in the browser. We inject a block notification into the browser so the user can know that this is not in the policy of the organization. And if the user wants to access, they need to go to a managed device. I'm not only blocking, I'm giving a customizable message that the user can now go about and proceed when they do want to access this file next time. It's through our reverse proxy technology, correct? Yes, this is the, and I'll show you in a second how it looks. And now let's proceed just to see how it looks in the administrative portal. So if we are going to the administrative portal that we've seen earlier, you will see under investigate activity log a bunch of new activities that came from the proxy. The proxy creates two activities for logons, one for the managed device and one for the unmanaged device. You can see that the logon activities came from the same user, Richard, from Salesforce, and from the same IP address because we use the same device. But you can see that the Internet Explorer browser and the Edge have a different sign on their device mark. The Edge has a managed device, certified device mark, and this is why the action that the proxy takes is bypass. We bypass, and the user have complete access to that application. On the other hand, the unmanaged device is redirected to our proxy to apply the in-session controls. Now, you can see that there is a policy in place that says, hey, all unmanaged access, you should redirect to the reverse proxy. We can see two transactions, download file, the non-confidential file, and we have the confidential file download. And we can see that the policy here that we set up in order to do that is to block based on the Azure Information Protection labels that we've seen earlier. So this shows you a very powerful capability that we can take into any application that monitors unmanaged access and allows you to control it in session. This is, yeah. So it's not better, it's different. I will explain. The question is, how is it positioned with Azure Active Directory conditional access? Conditional access owns access. This owns the session. Again, this is more to control the session and the data in the case that you allow lower trust requests to be authenticated and have access to the environment, but you want to restrict data. Okay, so it is actually a direct continuation of that capability.
And it's independent from
it is part of the same conditional access mechanism. It is, as you've seen, you had the Azure Active Directory, and the redirect came from that identity provider. So again, no deployment needed beside that. So we are using client certificate, the DRS, if you're familiar. And we have very few minutes left, so maybe I can take the questions after the session, if that's OK. Thank you. And with this, I want to end and thank you and move the floor to Demi.
Thank you. Thank you. That was really good demo, Sinan. It's so nice to see this product in action. Something I would like to really mention is this product, as Inan showed with Box or all of the other SaaS applications, this is a cross-SaaS product. We got a lot of questions since we acquired Adalom. Is this going to be only Microsoft Cloud applications? We are only going to support Office 365? No. We are committed to support cross-cloud. That's our intention with this product because we know that you have a variety of different cloud applications in your environment. And we actually have really good alliance with the other SaaS providers. Just a few weeks ago, actually, we were at BoxWorks, and you can see Box's vice president and his code about how we are working together to make sure that you gain deeper visibility, stronger controls, and threat protection for cloud applications. Adalom has been in the market before we have acquired them, and they have been actually, they had active customers. We now have customers of Cloud App Security. And you can see that how customers really benefit from this. For instance, this is a financial organization, First American. They are using Cloud App Security and really benefit from it. They like the fact that they can detect threats when it comes to cloud applications using Cloud App Security. Inan mentioned this during his presentation, but I would like to emphasize how our solution is packaged. Our solution comes through two different flavors. Office 365, specifically Office 365 Security, is a part of Office 365 Advanced Security Management. Office 365 Advanced Security Management gives you discovery of applications that have similar capability to Office 365. You're looking at about 1,000 applications there. The idea is to give the office admin to discover applications that have similar functionality, similar productivity application discovery. It also provides app permissions and control, and it also does threat protection. But this is only for Office 365, and it's a part of Office 365 E5 suite. But if you want to do Office 365 and other cross-cloud applications, just as Inan mentioned and demonstrated, then Cloud App Security standalone is the flavor you want to go. So all these discovery, 13,000 applications, the ongoing detailed analytics, data control, threat protection for not only Office 365, but also for other cloud applications as a part of Cloud App Security standalone. You can buy that standalone by itself, or you can buy it through EMS E5 suite. This is a new suite. We had Enterprise Mobility Suite in the market in the last, I think we introduced it about a few years ago. And this is becoming EMS E3. And now we are introducing EMS E5 this week, which includes Cloud App Security, Azure Information Protection Premium P2, as well as Azure Active Directory Premium P2, in addition to what you have in E3. So E5 includes E3 and all of these new capabilities. I got questions yesterday at the booth. So Cloud App Security Discovery, is it in E3? No, Cloud App Security standalone only comes in E5. And in the other capabilities that we have in Azure Active Directory Premium P2 is specifically focusing on privileged identity management as well as identity protection, which we have covered yesterday. I strongly suggest to attend those sessions as well. Azure Information Protection P2 has all that classification and labeling Inan has explained. as well as the encryption that comes with it. And it includes all the great features that we have gathered from our Secure Islands acquisition. I'd like to mention a few things in terms of what really sets us apart and why we have made this acquisition and why we believed in Adalom's technology. Discovery, no agents required. I think that's so key. It makes it so much easier to discover applications in your environment. Inan showed you detailed policies. One of the reasons that Microsoft specifically chose Adalom was the fact that your solution is so comprehensive when it comes to controlling data. It's so deep when it comes to data control. We have deep integration with Office 365 because Office 365 engineering team and Cloud App Security engineering team working together to make sure that we have the deepest integration, deepest security for Office 365. And I would like to really encourage you to use the product. When I first demonstrated, when I first tried the product, it was so easy. It was so easy to maneuver, to discover applications, to start policies. Look at all the other competitors in the marketplace. They will not be able to give you a free trial. We provide you an enterprise-grade solution, and we are proud of our solution that you can go ahead and try it. And for that, you can go to cloudappsecurity.com. You will see a Try Now button at the top. You can either request a demo, a sales technician will call you. If you don't want to talk to anyone, there's a 30-day free trial. You can upload your logs, you can create policies, and see how this product is performing in your environment. And also we have more sessions. Inan mentioned during his presentation, he has a deployment session tomorrow. So if you want to see how you can upload the logs, how you can do the discovery, how you can sanction an application, that's a great session to go. It's tomorrow at 12:30 at A1, room A1. And also with our deep integration with Azure Information Protection, I also suggest to attend those sessions as well. You will see Azure Information Protection classification, labeling, and encryption. We have two sessions. There's one actually today, right after this session, as well as there's one tomorrow at 4 p.m. And if you'd like to learn more about other enterprise mobility and security technologies, you can keep going, attend. We have a variety of different sessions for Azure AD, other technologies, because we really believe in the integration. Inan mentioned about our integration with Azure Information Protection. Azure, we are working also with the Azure AD team. Azure AD and Microsoft Intune team is working with Inan's team to make sure that we have a cohesive conditional access for you. And also, we are keeping integrating these solutions because we want to make sure that we provide you an integrated approach and a solution set that's really going to help you to protect your cloud applications. The idea is not to block users. Let's gain visibility and let's start controlling their actions. Thank you so much for attending. Have a great show. Mm-hmm.